Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're tuned in with us tonight. And I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here each and every Thursday night to be with you and for you to be able to call in and chat with Dr. Allen, ask questions, and all kinds of things like that. So let's get started right away. So Dr. Allen, you're live on the air.
I love it. I'm served.
Awesome. So tell me, how was your week? What you been up to?
I have been up to having fun creating my Saturday 9 to 4 singular themes: addictions, self-esteem, getting to I do. I found in my Virgo perfectionistic nature that I've always tried to teach everything all at once. And that's very difficult. It's fun for a while, but now I've divided up my themes so that I can work with 6 people from 9 until 4 with a lovely lunch off at a wonderful French delicatessen and a restaurant next to each other within a half a block. So I am now less stressed from over compacting themes that I've studied all these 47 years. And I'm enjoying the intimacy of 7 people. And now we're spreading the benefits out to people on the phone. We're doing scripts. And what was the one we were just creating, Kelly?
Oh, yeah. We've got the scripts where you can call in, you can do the script class, or, have a script reading online. And then we were also doing self-esteem, the Myers-Briggs.
Right.
Right.
And that's wonderful. I momentarily didn't remember which theme we're going to do, but the Myers-Briggs is a wonderful. My teachers were Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey, who wrote Please Understand Me about the Myers-Briggs. And that particular test is still respected for companies in putting people together that are harmonious temperamentally and in their temperaments. So it really is appropriate for a phone session. So that's 2 phone sessions for helping people.
Exactly. People that cannot attend in person, because we don't do these classes online. You can sign up online at oneinstitute.com, iwantstore.com, and you can see more information, drpatallen.com. But we don't offer the classes online. However, we've had a lot of requests, so we've made special circumstances where you can do the Myers-Briggs and then have your phone session, which is just fabulous. And a lot of people are responding extremely positively toward that, and we're excited about it. So
over the world.
Exactly. I've got a message
today to a lady from Finland. It's so amazing what people will do if they see something of value for their development. It's just, it's made the world a smaller place, and in this case, a more productive place. I like helping people.
Hey, we've got, my switchboard is telling us that we have some calls.
Okay, let's go to work.
Okay, I'm going to tell him right now, and he's wonderful, and he always takes great care of us on the board. And by the way, if you call in and you get put in the queue, answer when we call back. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi.
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 Hi. Pat, I was in your office about a month ago when my boyfriend of 7 months broke up with me. And he wanted us to start splitting things 50-50. And I didn't feel
he wanted a convenient relationship.
Yes, which you explained to me would have been okay, except that I make half of what he makes. And we had been doing a 2-to-1 ratio, and he wanted to change that.
Unless he's willing to lower the lifestyle to your level. You see, in a convenient relationship, both people put in the contract shared bills, shared chores, you see? And if he's willing to lower the lifestyle down to what you and he can afford dollar for dollar, then he can use his extra money as gift money, trip money, you know, big purchase money. So it could work if he were willing to do that. But is he not? Does he want to match you to him at his level?
I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, that's what I was thinking. He wanted me to match his level, and I wasn't sure if it was okay to have the...
Well, then, would you please
lowering the amount too,
ask him, because a convenient would work if he's willing to live on your level.
Yes, okay, I see. And so what's the difference then between the convenience and the modified covenant relationship?
A modified covenant is one in which perhaps the person that is signed up to be the breadwinner... See, it used to be in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan, you could get married and then go right back in and get another certification as a covenant relationship. Now it's only in Louisiana. One person signs a contract with the government that they will be the breadwinner and pay for the bills of the family, the children benefiting from that, and the other person does not go out of the house, takes care of the kids, is the homemaker. A modified covenant is when the homemaker has a part-time job, you see?
Yeah, okay.
And the breadwinner who makes more money likes it that way. So that's a modified.
Okay, and how does that play out, though, if you're not married, if you're dating? Is that, or would that still apply if you're just in an exclusive relationship? Would it still,
well,
you know what I mean?
You can have either a covenant or a codependent. That's one in which one person takes care of both people, even if, you know, they don't have the money.
Yeah.
Codependency, if you want to watch a movie, there's one called Secretary about a sadomasochistic couple in which it sounds, you know, bad, but they like it. One of them is the dominator and the other one is the dominated. So that's a relationship in which two people are willing to negotiate one breadwinner, but it may not be the person that's even got the money. It may be somebody who's staying home and doesn't want to go to work. So
I see.
That one is a tricky one. And then there's the covenant, which is one breadwinner, one homemaker. Then there's the modified codependency, where, for example, a woman wants to be in a covenant relationship, but her husband needs a little extra money And so she agrees to leave home to go make some money to bring in to the home, you know, kitty.
Yeah.
And so that's modified. And then there's the other one, which is a convenience in which both of them agree to mutually, he or she who does, who brings in more money does less chores.
Okay. Is it possible for the breadwinner? So if you're wanting to be the feminine energy, and let's say you make more than your man does, is that possible?
Of course. You know what you say to him? I will pay for trips I want to go on and bring you along, because that's not good going alone. I will pay for what I want over and above the 50-50 that you and I have agreed to. But I'm not willing to just be the breadwinner. I want equal donations to the food, housing, bills of the house. But when I want something, I'm going to go get it. And it may be something for you. I may want to buy you a car. But it won't be part of an agreement. It'll be me giving you a gift. You see?
Okay, I understand. So he had started to...
Would you be willing to modify your covenant, your convenience, down to putting in money to pay for the rent and the food? Would he be willing to do that, do you think?
Well, he already broke up with me because he felt...
Oh, he's already split up.
Yeah, a month ago he split up with me, and he said at the time when I spoke with you that he was trying to maybe break me into the role of mother because he was kind of being like narcissistic, I guess, with wanting his feelings cherished and his thinking respected. And he suggested that I don't reach out to him for the 8 weeks and see if he can live without me. And he reached he reached out to me on Monday at the 4 week mark. And he
all right, that's a very good sign.
Really? Okay, because he said he was struggling without me. He said he missed me. We talked, you know, we were talking things out, but when it came down to it, he said he didn't want to promise me anything, and it was sort of an impulsive call because he missed me. But he didn't say, you know, I can't live without you, or I want to get back together. And he, at the end of it, he just said, I might call you again if that's okay with you. And I said, that would be okay, but I'm not sure what to do at this point if he does call me
again.
Well,
there's nothing to do because he wants you to be a convenient relationship of equality, and he wants you to make more money.
Mm-hmm. Well, but if he came back around, does that mean if he's willing to continue the way that we were, where he was putting in more than me, if he says he's okay with that, then we'd still be on for what we were doing before, which was like the percentage.
That is the modified covenant.
Okay, so if he called me at the 4 week mark, but he said he's not ready to promise anything, and he's saying it was an impulsive call, he asked if I was seeing anyone, and I said no. He let me know he was online dating. I don't know what, I guess if he calls again, I'm not sure what.
You just do what you're doing. You talk respectfully and understand that he's left you because he wants an equal covenant, an equal convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't or won't do it. You're incompatible.
Okay. Unless he wants to go back, because for the 7 months we were together, we were compatible when he was agreeing to do the modified thing.
But he decided he wanted a workaholic woman, so he'll have to go find one.
Okay, so...
They're not as much fun. They're busy.
Okay, so there's no... Is there no remedying things then? Unless he wants to...
The only remedy is if he misses your companionship enough. See, the problem with working is that it takes women away out of the home, right, away from the kids, and away from the husband or the man or boyfriend or whatever. And they miss you so that they are willing very often to pay more for you not to work as much. But that may not be his way. He may want a busy woman who makes more money. And that's his privilege, but that means he loses you.
Okay. I see. Okay. So.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks, caller.
Yep. That's
so 8 weeks, and then he has to change his mind.
Well, 8 weeks is a period of time that people vacillate between thinking and feeling.
Exactly. Oh, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I'm very good. Thank you. I do have a question. Yes, Dr. Allen, I was listening to your Want Training CD collection, and the very The very last CD talks about power versus potency.
Oh, yes.
And it's awesome. It's so interesting. And there you talked about basically losers in communication, so people that are evasive and...
Secretive, gamey, condescending, and abrupt.
Yeah. Yes. So I was wondering, so you had an example, for example, when somebody says, I will call you later, or I'll pick you up later. What if that happens in the very beginning of, like, dating relationships? For example, like this boyfriend.
Are you saying they don't follow their agreement?
It's not that he didn't follow them. We once had a conversation where I said that I would really love it if we spend Saturdays together. And then here comes Saturday. He doesn't text or call me until like 10 p.m. And he says, hey, what are you doing? Like, oh, I'm hanging out with friends. And then he said, oh, I thought we were going to hang out. I'm like, it's 10 o'clock. It's basically the Saturday is gone. It doesn't matter now, we're broken up now, but if I see that in the future, like, how should I approach it when they're kind of weird and wobbly? What do I do?
That's called passive aggressive. First of all, go to the store and get the book Living with a Passive Aggressive Man, which is also a woman. We women have masculine anima souls, men have yang bodies. So we're all men and we're all women. And so passive aggressive people say, see you later, or I'll call you later. But it's not an agreement. It's just a fantasy statement, you see. And your answer to that is, do you happen to know when you want me to call or you want to call me? You ask for details.
Also, it's okay to ask them. But wouldn't that be controlling them or no?
It would be gathering data. What you say to him is, oh, that would be nice if you called me. I want to be available. Do you know when you might want to do that?
Oh, okay. So that's okay to do. That's not being...
But the opposite is, you can see that as simply... Hi, how are you? You know, it could be simply an opening nicety. I love it when clients call me on the phone and they say, how are you, Pat? And I say, oh, you're a therapist now and you want me for a client.
That's funny.
So it's something you say that has little or no meaning. but you say it as a way to help them feel cared for, I guess.
Okay.
You see? So passive aggressive people don't make and don't keep agreements they make.
Okay. And where does that come from? Nice is it things. Something? So does it come from like wobbly parenting or, because with my last boyfriend, I always wondered, because he would say things and they kind of didn't come true, or he would just decide to do something else and then he'd inform me of something else. And I was like, but wait, I thought we're doing that. He's like, oh, no. And it was just, where does this come from?
It comes from people misusing language in order to intimidate with fear or seduce with guilt, instead of just negotiating deals. I want you to call me between 2 and 4. I want to see you next Saturday at 6. You see?
So asking, so gathering data, asking for details, that's still, I'm still being feminine when I do that, correct?
When you do what?
When I ask for details or gather data, once, especially for me with my job that's so crazy, I need a time frame of some sort. It.
Hey, I'll talk to you later. What would you say to that?
I would appreciate that, but I want to be available. When do you think you are going to do it?
That's what you do. Either that or you know it's just a nicety.
Got it. Okay. But then it won't, there's no way for me to know, if it's somebody new.
I fully understand that, but they would know the question you asked them.
Okay.
You see? So the way you communicate, remember, it affects the people that are listening to it. It's all, beware of your thoughts. They become words. Beware of your words. They become habits. Beware of your habits. They become your character. Beware of your character. It becomes your destiny. Bank, doctor's office, and in every relationship, especially the loving ones, especially the sexually loving ones. So people don't speak clearly. They play games of intimidation. You better be there when I call. You see? Dolly, it was so awful. I never heard from you. You see?
Okay.
So intimidation, seduction, and negotiation are the three ways we communicate.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
I think it makes sense
You're
now.
You're welcome. Good luck with the communication.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Very cool information, Dr. Allen, to sort of understand that, whether or not it's a nicety or... Oh, look at that. We've got another caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You're going to have to turn your radio down.
Okay, yeah, I think I have it turned down now.
Great. You have a question?
Yeah, I have a situation that I'm not quite sure what I want to do about. I ended a relationship about a month ago. The man had been dating me for about...
What for?
He's emotionally unavailable. He has the, avoidant attachment style. And I also had a father. You know, you ask a lot of times, did your dad ask you how you felt about what you did or what did you do today? My father ignored me. He was really not present. And so I think I spent majority of my life really kind of pining over my father and wanting his love and affection. So I picked men that are just like him. And this man is a younger, thinner version of my father.
But it's wonderful that you know that. There's a wonderful book called Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard, which talks about the impact of a father that is not a comforting, cherishing father to a woman. You see, we women, we need cherishing from our daddies, and men need respect from their mothers.
So I understand
what's your question?
Well, so I guess the question that I have is, he's reaching out now. He reached out initially after 5 days, and then a couple of days after that, and then he went 2 weeks, I didn't hear from him, and then he reached out and said, I want to go for a bike ride with you. He was like, I can be available the entire day for you. Let's, you know, let's just go for a bike ride. So we did. We went for
that
a bike ride. We
wonderful.
Had a great time. So this is my question is this something that like can change with him, or is he just this sort of, he has a long history of having women cheat on him. So I'm worried that he's just this avoidant person, and that's why women cheat on him. And if I consider getting back with him, it's going to just go right back to this avoidant stuff that was awful, quite
well,
honestly.
Well, what I'm hearing is he's avoidant because he's afraid of surrendering and becoming vulnerable. He could use my communication techniques, my tools.
Yeah.
You see? So
that's
what we do.
Okay. So is it worth trying to negotiate with him then?
Yes, you are.
Or, okay.
So give us an example of when you're not doing well with him.
I would say...
Did you say you've
like
already broken up with him?
Yeah. We broke up like a month ago, and now he's reaching back out.
Oh, he's reaching
also,
back
he
to
has,
you now?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not contacted him once, so I'm waiting for him to contact me, and he's, you know, it's not every day, but he is contacting me.
All right. So do you have an example of what you want me to show you how to do?
Yes. Okay. So
what
here
is
was,
it?
I attempted to negotiate a couple of times. So one time I said to him, you know, I have something I want to talk to you about. Is it convenient sometime today? He said, yes, go ahead. And I said, you know, my needs really are not being met in this relationship as far as the amount of time that we spend together. And so he said, okay, so just tell me very bluntly, what do you want? What do you need? Like, where am I falling short? And I said, I would like to see you 2 to 3 times a week and spend the night together 1 to 2 times a week. And he responded with, well, I would like to see you more too.
So he didn't give you a yes or no offer.
Correct.
That's avoidant. And you then said, I sense by you not saying yes or no, a non-answer is a negative answer. What you're saying about you want to see me more is not factual. You don't have any contract to say.
Okay.
You see? When somebody's avoidant, I sense by you not giving me a yes that you really are saying no. Is that correct?
Okay.
You see? So my ASR, Androgynous Semantic Realignment Tools, I have written, beside getting to I do, I've written Staying Married and Loving It, which has much more tool stuff in it. So with that in mind, when people are evasive, not precise, when they're secretive and want you to mind read, when they're condescending, roller eyes, and when they're abrupt, yes, no, or no answer, they're not negotiating anything. Mm-hmm. They're just intimidating or they're seducing so they can avoid the danger of intimacy. Mm-hmm. But of course, they lose the pleasure of intimacy too.
Mm-hmm. So this is always going to be a consistent issue I have to deal with him though, right? Like I guess I have to make the decision here of do I want to deal with this issue or not?
Absolutely.
Right?
Everybody.
This will be consistently him.
And you have to decide if you want to work with it.
Okay.
Remember,
and I guess my question,
he probably feels you're intimidating.
How so? Why would that be?
Because he may think your precision in communication is really you bullying him. Does he ever say anything like that, did he?
Well, the only thing he's ever said to me is, it was like our fourth, maybe fifth date before he even tried to kiss me. And he did say to me, I have to try to get the, well, he said to me, he's like, I have to try to grow the balls enough to kiss you, but you make me really nervous. That's the only thing he's ever said
okay.
in that form.
And that's him being afraid of you. Yes. So remember the three words that I tell women, passive, patient, and vulnerable. If you want a man to feel safe enough to compete, conquer, and control his fear of you. Remember, men's souls, the anima, are extremely sensitive. Mm-hmm. A woman's soul, the animus, is extremely powerful. So, with that in mind, I teach women to speak in respectful ways so that men do not become frightened. And I teach men to speak in assertive ways so women don't think they're avoiding you.
Okay.
You see? So is he 51% valuable enough to mold?
Yes, I think so. If I can mold him, so if he
you mold
reaches
him
out again
by responding to what he says and the way he says it. The tools. Remember the tools. Don't ask him what he feels. Ask him what he thinks and wants, and what you can do to help him do it. Remember that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, you have to make an appointment for the subject, and you have to make it at his convenience.
Okay.
The third tool is how to fight with him. If you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, do it. But if you don't, make him right for irritating you. You had a right to say that. You had a right to think that. You had a right to feel that. But I'm not comfortable with it. What do you think about doing it this way or not doing it that way? And what can I do to help you and I do it? And the fourth tool is, I sense, I think, I believe, by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, your gesturing, that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes or no? No answer. You have a right not to give me a yes or a no, but a non-answer is a negative answer. What can I do to help us do better? And the fifth tool is time out. If you're on the phone, say, time out. What are you saying that for? Because I'm not comfortable with what you're saying. Or time out with your hands like a referee. Time out signals him that you're upset about something. What are you doing? I'm signaling you I'm upset. Are you interested in what it is? No. Okay. Well, yes, I do want to know. Well, I'm upset because you're not telling me when you want to see me. You know, you're not leading, and I'm not comfortable being a mother to you. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So those Yes.
When he, I know him well enough to know if he reaches out again, he's not going to just say like, let's get back together. He's going to ask for sex is what he's going to do. So how do I say at that point in time?
Go ahead.
We need to negotiate.
You be him and ask for that. You do it now.
Okay. He would say, hey, why don't you come over tonight and I'll give you a massage. It's like
sounds wonderful. You see, saying yes to what he's offering gives you the right to say no to what he wants.
Okay.
But you have to be sober. You have to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. I rarely drink. I guess I'm wondering, like, when it comes time to negotiating again, like if he's showing signs like he wants to get back together, I mean, he may even say something more explicit than come over for a massage. I mean, he very well.
He may say,
I don't know if
he may say, I want to get back together again. What would you say to that?
I would say that I'm open to that, but I think first we need to get together and negotiate time spent together and time spent apart and make sure we have compatibility in those areas.
That sounds wonderful. That sounds totally wonderful.
Okay. See, so that's what I can say that.
If he's immoral, unethical, or illegal and he tries to rape you, rob you, or whatever, that's when you have him arrested. Call the police.
Oh, no, he's not like that. Yeah.
You see? So I want you to practice my tools, androgynous semantic realignment, in order to negotiate better with this man that's coming back to make another run for it.
Okay. And I do not reach out to him, even though I was the one that broke up with him. I don't reach out at all. Is that correct?
If you made a mistake, you write a hi bye to him. Dumped him, right?
I did. I don't know if I necessarily think it was a mistake, though, because he was completely ignoring me. Like,
I know that, but if he comes back and says, I want to negotiate the relationship, don't you want to at least negotiate the relationship?
Yes, I do. I just don't know if I want to write, like, the hi bye. I mean, he has never been gone for 8 weeks anyway, but, I guess I'm trying to clarify, like, even though I ended the relationship and I still don't reach out, right?
Each and every one of the things you're uncomfortable for and with and to, you confront him. I want to talk to you about what you're saying and what you're doing. Make an appointment and tell him. I don't want you to require that he mind read you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Are you willing to use the tools to teach him how to negotiate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
Okay. And that's what you're going to do.
Okay.
All right.
But I wait for him to reach out. I don't reach out to him.
Well, since you're not wanting to admit you made a mistake, he's reaching out, which says that he doesn't want to let you go.
Okay. So just let him keep doing that and responding.
Yes, responding. We're using the tools.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Those tools are vital for communication and for setting that whole relationship contract
Totally.
I mean, and that contract can be really vital. I mean,
the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the contract and commitment you're willing to make and keep.
Hi, Dr. Pat.
Oh, hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Good evening.
Hi.
Dr. Pat, you said it's okay to have sex, but intercourse. And I find that some men...
Well, it's okay. Are you talking about casual sex? Are you talking about committable sex? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about kissing, the touch, coming down on...
No. That's affection in my world.
Oh, okay.
Intercourse,
no, you said like everything
oral,
is sex.
Anal and vaginal is sex.
Okay.
Sexuality and sensuousness are really very much in the world of affection.
Oh, I see. Okay. And it's okay to get undressed and, you know,
Some people cannot do that without sweeping over the bridge and getting into intercourse. So you have to know your own boundaries. There are men that cannot kiss anybody because it turns them on too high.
Yes. I mean, I couldn't do it before.
You have to know yourself.
Yes, Dr. Pat.
I do not think it's appropriate to have intercourse unless you're either doing it for prostitution money or you're doing it because you want a hookup. You've got to know what the contract is for your sex.
Yes. Yes,
you're misusing it.
Yes, and I'm grateful that I found you, and I know now the difference between sex and having sex and making love. I found men that it's not good to talk on the phone, I found men that they start talking to me like, you know, in a dirty way, so. Is that okay too or no?
Doing sex on the phone?
Yes. Is a good practice or it's not a good practice?
That is not intercourse.
Right.
That is sexual talk to turn you on.
Yes.
Very often people are masturbating while they're talking.
But it doesn't go anywhere, right? I mean, it's.
Well, it goes wherever the people want it to go. I'm just simply saying casual intercourse, more people die of misused sex, whether it's murder or suicide or illness, than almost anything.
Okay. Right.
Affection is tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, and hearing, but does not include intercourse unless you have some kind of relationship commitment. And by that, it could be prostitution. It can be, you know, whatever. But both people need to know what it is.
Okay. I got it. Well, what I find out about the sex without intercourse is somehow these people got closer to me. They keep calling me, and they want to see me now. Like,
you know, do
and
you know
I haven't
why?
Had any intercourse.
You know why?
Why?
Let
tell me
tell
why.
You why.
Tell
because
me.
casual sex is very passionate, intense, and quick and done. Do you realize that very often young men, men under 40, 50, they have sex just to have sex like dogs. Making yes. love takes friendship and sexuality. And okay. foreplay is affection. And we women, okay. we tend to like foreplay to turn us on to making love.
Right. You said it was very important to be touched as a woman.
It's very important to be touched if you're a man.
Okay.
But that can be getting a massage.
Okay. Okay. I have a relationship with commitment, and he has some problems at work, and all he wants is go see his daughter, and we have several weeks without seeing each other, and I don't ask for anything. I don't ask to see him because I know that's not the way I'm gonna get him to do it. So
you can accept him or reject him, but don't tolerate him.
Okay.
If he's not 51% valuable, that's the way it is. You're not compatible.
Okay.
He has a right to put his daughter ahead of you, and you have yes. a right terminating him because he's doing it.
Okay, but if I think about it, I feel a lot of pain doing it.
Well, of course. Then accept him the way he is.
Okay. And just until he decides to do it, even if it goes by 3 more months.
Look, he has a right to put someone ahead of you, and you okay. have a right to terminate him. That's
okay.
the balance. If you want to
yes.
accept him seeing his daughter ahead of you, then you'll get what there is after he does what he wants to do. If you're the man, you have to find a man that wants to do it your way. If you're the woman, you have to do it the way your man wants it done.
Okay. Okay.
It's a great... who we are. What?
I really thank you. It's a great feeling to feel like a woman for the first time.
No, I didn't hear that phrase. You did what?
I said thank you so much because it's a great feeling to feel like a real woman for the first time in my whole entire life.
All right.
Even if it's painful. Yes.
Well, if he's worth it, he's worth it.
Okay. Okay, doctor.
There are women.
God bless.
There are women that accept their men having mistresses. God only knows
that I wanna
what
say.
People do.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
You too. Bye.
Well, that's wonderful, Dr. Allen. And what a great thing that she's taken such a stand in saying how wonderful she feels about what you've taught her and what she's learned in communicating and in her relationship.
Right. I like
so, I just want to say, we got one more call coming in. Awesome. We're going to take it.
Right. Okay.
All right. So, switchboard's letting me know. Hi, caller. You're on the air
Hello?
With Dr. Allen. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes. My question is, what do you do if your man doesn't like it when you ask for an appointment?
You say, the truth of the matter is maybe he likes you to say it in a different way. Maybe he wants you to say it, I don't know how to say it. That wouldn't sound like the same thing. What he wants is spontaneity. And the problem is spontaneity results in chaos. Chaos. Discipline, especially self-discipline, allows for more spontaneity. If I know I'm going to act like a dung-dung over lunch, I'm going to have more fun because I know I'm doing it and I want to. You see? So he's a spontaneity addict. But spontaneity is chaotic. Okay?
Yeah.
So basically, I don't know what you can do and say to him, you have every right for me to be spontaneous, but I'm afraid to be spontaneous because that is too chaotic for me. I want more organization.
Yes. Okay. That's good.
Okay, which is boundaries.
I'll try
boundaries.
That. Yeah. Okay.
There are women.
Thanks so much,
that
Doctor. That's all I've got.
Spontaneity. What?
I'm trying to think of any other questions I might have, but for better or for worse, I don't have any because my relationship is going so thanks to your guidance.
Good. Good.
That's one. Yeah, I guess one other thing is that I don't have a lot of time and he's busy too. And so I'm scared about like that he's going to develop some kind of resentment because my schedule is just so busy now. And I'm scared that he'll be resentful that I don't make enough time for him. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions about how to prevent problems.
You have to look at your schedule and see what you can afford to chop down. Are you a career woman or are you a woman with a career? Is your private life number one or is your career number one?
Right.
Which are you?
Right.
Career or relationship?
Well, I'd like to be a woman with a career,
You can't have both equally.
Right.
You want to be a woman with a career? Then you will compromise.
I want to be a woman with a career.
Well, then you've got to negotiate what he wants and what you want and what you're willing to pay for it.
Here's another question. If I'm a man at work and I'm like, I'm really enjoying being a man at work and everyone's a man at
and
work,
I want you to do
how do we prevent
60 minutes? What?
How do you prevent butting heads with everybody at work if you're all men? Doesn't someone have to be the woman?
I don't think so. That's what Women's Lib has taught us. We all want respect at work. At the end of the day, there are powerful men that go home and are absolute wusses. And there are little secretaries at the office that come home and become Genghis Khan's older sister. We each have to decide if we're going to do yin feminine or yang masculine with everybody in our life.
So there's no cherishing going on in the workspace. Like, it's not appropriate in the workspace to be cherishing people.
I know that, but we're just finding that out. You see, Women's Lib has had one big message. Everybody gets respect. Respected at work. At the end of the day, you can flirt, you see, and be sexual, sensuous, whatever, but it doesn't go well at work.
Yes.
Okay.
But it doesn't that lead to conflict? If everyone is trying to get respect?
No, dear. That's why we have people That's the Myers-Briggs temperament test. I advise you to get the book, Please Understand Me by David Kiersey and Marilyn Bates. Take the test, give it to your loved one, and see if you're compatible.
Okay. Wait, what's the name of that book again, Pat?
It's Please Understand Me by Marilyn
Bates
and David Kiersey.
Okay.
They were my teachers at Cal State Fullerton.
Okay. Got it.
Years and years ago.
Thanks so much, Pat. You're so helpful. You're like saving my life every day. I'm just so grateful for your
good.
Please,
but you have to
don't die
the
ever.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to. Okay. Bye bye.
Thanks, caller. Hey, Dr. Ellen, we're out of time. What do you have to say before we take off?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Okay, I know somebody who's listening who needed to hear that, Dr. Allen, so thank you for that. Everybody, we'll be back next week. Go to the website, drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. You'll get all the latest up-to-date information. WantEyeStore.com is where you sign up for classes. Info@drpatallen is where you get info directly via email. Thanks, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.